Hello, everyone. I will give it a couple more minutes for folks to come in. I hope folks who got time off had a good time off the last few days. Anybody have any good turkey stories or family? Did anybody blow up their turkey in a fat fryer on their driveway this Thanksgiving?
If anyone did, I hope you have video because I'd love to see it. What's amazing is the number of turkey fryers I have, the electric ones, the gas ones, the quote unquote safe ones.
I convinced
Nice.
my family to let me do a lasagna this year instead of turkey, so that was actually very relaxing.
Definitely. You can do that way in advance. You don't have to like time it perfectly.
You can do a lasagna in the shape of a turkey. The pan could be in the shape of a turkey.
Could make a turkey lasagna. All of these things are possible, Tom, and yet I did none of them. I did double my usual recipe to make two pans, so I had to dust off a kitchen scale, but other than that.
Nice. All right. Well, welcome everyone. We have a couple of agenda items today. A little bit of preview of what's coming down the pike. Believe it or not, we are now in December. All of us, I believe. Everybody's on the same day, even if not the same time. And some of you have already almost made it through your first day of December, but we're just starting here in the States. And we, Cornelia and I met last month and chatted about what our plans were for December. Although we're not 100% sure that we'll have all of the meetings in December, we do know that from December 22nd through January 5th, we'll be on winter break. And then our first meeting of the new of 2026 will be January Thursday, January 8th. So that you can mark off. I think Cornelia canceled them all. Yes, Cornelia. Oh, well, you hadn't made the January ones yet, and I think she already took the ones that we canceled off your calendars, hopefully, if you have the calendar appointment. Today we'll be
So,
talking. Oh, go ahead, Cornelia.
sorry, Tom just said in chat that it will be off. So, will you be there for this Thursday, Tom?
For this Thursday, yes. So that'd be the fourth. The only one would be the 18th. I'm technically off.
Okay,
Right.
so
I have to
we
burn up
can cancel that
vacation
one.
time.
Yes. No, vacation means vacation in my book, Tom. It means not convening a meeting. So we will
Yeah.
not have the fee fine meeting on the 18th. That's fine. No,
That's
it's fine. It's fine. Just fine.
it.
Okay, so the last fee fine meeting of the year will be Thursday, this Thursday, the 4th. And then the following Thursday will be the backlog ticket review, the last one of the year, also. And we will report out. Depending on how much we get through today, we may bump Magnus to next Monday to talk about the naming of the triggering events, which depends on how long this restricted status discussion takes, which could be a little while, but that's okay. We want to make sure we get it right. And just a shout out to Cornelia for gathering all the previous discussions of the restricted status and all the places that it has come up before, so we don't end up undoing something we did intentionally in our past lives. And I don't have all the history of this, so it would be good. It's good to kind of go through that. So, as a reminder, any other book, kind of administrivia stuff to talk about before we move on to the actual topic? Okay. So, this came up last. When did it come up, Tom, that this got raised just last month, a week ago or two?
About 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Okay. And it came up in sort of as an aside related to something else. But we wanted to, there was some discussion of it not behaving the way it was expected. And then we wanted to document that so that it could be fixed. But then it wasn't clear how it should be fixed. So we realized we needed to circle back and have a larger conversation to make sure that we weren't undoing something. So maybe I'll start with you, Cornelia, if you're able to. I appreciate all the notes you put in. Do you want to give us a synopsis of what you discovered so far in the history?
I can try. So there are tickets from 2021 that say requests should be allowed for items that have a restricted status. It was not clear, it was hold requests where possible. It was not clear if it was meant to be recalled or not. There was a Jira, I don't know if I linked it, which one of these it is, but there was a Jira that had the open question if recalls should be allowed as well as holds, still open. So when we la discussed this last year, Lawrence brought a question up that documentation says restricted items are requestable, and it didn't work in Poppy and Kisnelia, and I had a Nolana environment running and it worked. I could put a hold on a restricted item in Nolana, and the presumption was it was possible up until the request page was changed with Poppy. And someone brought up, or Mark was it, brought up that restricted was implemented to use with controlled digital landing. The status of items that are included in CDL get the item status of restricted and can't be loaned. And I copied some information from those CDL meetings. So, and not sure if this works as intended and how it works. Yeah. So that was this discussion up so far. Restricted was implemented for CDL, and was able to be requested as a hold request up until ORCID probably.
So was it originally created for CDL? Is that people's
That's my
recollection?
memory, yeah. And then the CDL was never really fully fleshed out, but in the sort of flow charts of how CDL was proposed to work, the idea was restricted would be the status that you moved a physical item to when the digital was in use, and then it would be updated to, so it would make sense that holds should be possible because you should be able to queue up use, right? Like if somebody's using the digital, someone else should be able to say, well, I want to use the physical when it becomes available. But I wouldn't think in that context, I wouldn't think recalling would make sense. Now, having said that, we also called it restricted in part because there was the assumption that there might be other workflows that weren't anticipated that for which some restricted status might, make sense for another library, but none of this ever, there's no business logic or anything for any of this, with the exception of just what kinds of requests can be placed on the status, as far as I'm aware.
Scott.
Well, hope I won't derail the conversation, but one of the issues we've had for a long time with statuses in general is for items that a library wants to display but not have available, do have requests placed on them. This has gone back to the days we were on Sierra and used InReach for our union catalog. And the problem is that they may have restricted, unavailable, or other status. That's what they'd like to have happen, but they decide they want to check it out, and then they check it back in. It goes back to an available status. And the problem is, if it's available, if it's not mapped by the AI type, it'll be requestable in OpenRS, which we use now for our catalog, but also in the local locate catalog, you can map up as available, be confusing to a user. And if there was a status that we like, this is the assigned status, yes, you can check it out. When it checks back in, it goes back to the same status again. That would solve a lot of problems we've had over the years.
Yeah, we've certainly never mapped anything like that in any of the conversations I've had about Folio. I think that's the kind of thing that we talked about as being something that a workflow engine could accomplish, because so we don't have that particular need at Chicago, but we do have a ton of things that get sent, not as many as used to, but like we have things that get sent to our bindery that are checked out to a dummy account. And that when they get back from the bindery, it would be great if when they were checked in, they went back to an in-process status instead of available because they're not actually available. But I, all those conversations in my memory have sort of wrapped around the idea of having a workflow engine that could more customize the business logic of what happens when an item gets checked in. And I think for restricted with CDL like that, I mean, that might be just a new request for a diff yet a different request type, because I don't think that would necessarily work in the workflows that specifically the CDL workflow that this was anticipated to be in, right? Because here restricted would only come into play when the digital was in use, and that it would otherwise it should be available if it gets checked in and it's not being used. This was assuming that there would be like APIs or some kind of call or some kind of internal business logic if it was being handled in workflow. I can see the desire for it, but we just haven't, I think, discussed that.
So if it's not used for CDL as it was originally intended, and people use these restricted status for other things, could we decide that the ability to put hold requests on it is no longer necessary? Or should we say it should be put back to how it was before it was probably unintentionally changed with the new request page? I mean, Tom, this is what you want to know in the at the end.
Yeah.
So what is, remind me, is it that you cannot any longer put any kind of request on it?
Yes.
No, it's, well, yes and no. So the original one is that you could put a request on it. That got broken. But right now in Snapshot, that has been fixed. So right now in Snapshot, the devs have reverted it back that you can place a hold request on items that are restricted.
But not a page, right? Just a hold, or just it's hold and recall.
I will double check, but as far as I know, it's just hold and recall.
Well, it
Is
can't be
anybody
paged because it has to be
actively
there.
using restricted? I guess that's my question. Who is using restricted status right now? That might be the fastest way to think about this.
It sounded
I
like
use
Michigan was
it.
using it for non-circulating items, which in my mind, that is not loans that loan type should really be used for whether or not something circulates permanently. Like a permanent, it's an item status, like what's the state of that item in this moment, not the state of how it circulates, is
I
my
think,
feeling about it.
yeah,
Okay.
I
Correct.
think it might have been that we decided to use that because for some, in order to get it to display the way we wanted in Discovery. I think at the time, at least that we migrated, I believe loan type wouldn't display in EDS, is that possible?
It's definitely possible.
Yeah,
I
sounds
think that
familiar.
there was, we needed something to make it. Now, that may be that it's, maybe we could switch to that now. Maybe the discovery layer will display based on loan type, depending which we may switch our discovery layer, though. So I don't know. That's our reason for it, is to show that it's an in-house only, in-house use only item. Cornelia?
Yes, we use it for items that are hidden away in the department, and you might get access to it if you ask the right person or if you're eligible for some special course or what. And we use it in combination with not loanable loan types, so I wouldn't care if it's requestable or not. But there are more answers in chat.
And Magnus?
Yes, I'll go ahead then. We don't use it, but just the thought. We have a few statuses that you put manually that's not part of a workflow, and no other of those statuses can be requested. So perhaps it's good to have one status that can be requested. I'm not sure, but we don't use it. So
Yeah,
the
I
other
mean,
ones are intellectual item, unavailable, unknown, and so on.
I think MSU uses it for reference items as well, don't you, Aaron?
Yes, anything that's not circulating, we use it.
Okay. So these may have been workarounds. The loan type does now display in EDS. I can say now I'm looking right at ours. And it's also translatable, as in it can be translated from to standard loan or like whatever your loan type, you can have a loan type translation table. So it displays available for multiple different loan types, I guess. Or sorry, standard loan or whatever you have for a in your loan type field. David?
No, I was just gonna, I think, sort of follow up on your previous comments, Susan. That yeah, I mean, it sounds like this was a workaround for an EDS limitation because item status shouldn't really, like, by what it is supposed to be communicating is not supposed to be communicating that something does not circulate. But even for things that don't circulate, I would think there would be circumstances under which you would want to place a request on them, for any number of different sort of outlier reasons, which kind of just gets back to the lack of the ability to override, with all of these item statuses being hard coded as to which requests can't be done, and no ability for staff with the appropriate permissions to say, well, I know that that's the rule, but we just kind of get into this situation. So I would tend to agree with Magnus that having at least one status that's, again, intellectual makes sense that it not that requests can't be placed on it because it's not a real physical item, unavailable. It makes sense to me to have both at least one status that requests cannot be placed on and one that can be. So it seems like that's what we have with unavailable and restricted, although I have frankly not tested either of these in quite some time, because ultimately we tend to control all of this through our discovery layer view find. And so it's just like we just say, if it's this status, then just don't show them the link to request things if we don't want them to be requestable.
And I would prefer to make a decision based on how we expect it to work, not the workarounds that we've created to jerry-rig it in the past. I even though I understand the rationale for doing those things, especially since those rationales are no longer needed because the existing functionality does now work. You can display the loan type and you can have it say whatever you want it to, including non-circulating or in library use only, or whatever language you want to customize locally. That's all possible. I would say right now, it looks to me that restricted and unavailable behave exactly the same way, which for an item status doesn't make sense to have them behave precisely the same way, because it makes it sort of arbitrary why you would choose one versus the other. So I think the unavailable status, I mean, again, I think that having it being able to display the loan type in the discovery layer is the intended behavior. And loan type is intended to control the loan policies, request policies, et cetera, availability of material. So I think my inclination would be to keep it, to rely on those functions to behave the way they're supposed to, and then allow restricted to be what it's intended. So people could choose restricted versus unavailable based on whether they want it to be requestable. Even if CDL never comes to fruition, at least it require makes these two possible things possible.
I think that rationale makes sense to me. From a non-biased point. From a biased point, it also makes a lot of sense.
I mean, that makes sense to me as well, and I think that the issue, even for the workarounds, where ideally, if you wanted to use restricted for something like a building use only item, or for something that was like truly restricted in special collections or just in a staff area, I do think that there's an argument to be made for some kind of workflow engine or something that would let you customize the logic of to what status something is updated when it is checked in. But that just feels like a different feature. I mean, I would jump on that in a heartbeat, because if I could get everything that gets checked in from our bindery to say in process instead of it's on the shelf when it's actually going to sit in a processing area for some undetermined amount of time, it would be great, but it
Right.
doesn't.
And item statuses are kind of meant as a modifier to the current policy. So, I mean, marking something as restricted should just be a modifier to what the current policy is. And what you're talking about, David, is I'm not even sure it would have to be a workflow engine. When I was reworking the three-part item statuses, I dropped one of the parts, and just having a static process field where you could stack things up, you could leave that in there.
Yeah,
So
I'm not
like
saying that you'd have to have a workflow engine. I'm just saying that's how we had discussed it as a
yeah.
solution. But be if you wanted to be able to say, if this is a restricted status and is checked in, record the check-in but leave it on restricted status, that kind of customization needs some kind of interface if you were going to attempt to use restricted status for that
Agreed. And
purpose.
that's kind of what Voyager had in our previous system, is there was item statuses that were automatically removed at check-in, and then there were other item statuses that had to be manually removed by staff. And then you could have multiple item statuses, and they were kind of like hierarchical. So something was restricted, that item status would still show, the item status for the item would still show as restricted, even though it's still checked out.
So the Your use case, Scott, is one that's a little not, I'm not totally sure how I understand it fits in with the Union catalog. One thing that occurred to me as I heard you were speaking about how it functions is that the exhibit or display or whatever, a new bookshelf, wherever the places are that are things are going on temporarily and not requestable would be similar to something like the reserve shelf or whatever, and would not be temp requestable period for the period that they're there. So a circ rule could include non-requestability for those locations as opposed to the loan type, I guess, as one possible workaround. I'm not sure if that would work in your city.
It wouldn't. It would probably work for the local catalog, where we have several religious schools that want to display their some of their reserve, some of their, I'm sorry, their reference rare book items and so on. For the Union catalog, it looks at the status, if the shelving item location is mapped, and the item type. And so this is a feature that's both an OpenRS and an InReach. And we've asked libraries, can you try and map the item type? Something's not requestable. But a lot of them have not wanted to do that, or it's been difficult to enforce because we can't really tell them what to do. We can only recommend things. The status is something they do tend to want to use a lot. That would help in the circumstance because it would not show it as requestable. But if they have something they want that's not requestable, that has like a monograph, a mapped item type, and then the status of available, it'll try and place requests even if the loan rules deny it.
Gotcha. So can you, I'm not sure what a workaround would be then, or are they, do you know if these things are you loanable locally but just not requestable from the at the consortial level? Is that or they're
It
not
can
requestable at all.
be both. It could be material they want to loan locally. That has been more of an issue. They want to lend it in-house to their own staff or within the library. The ones are those have been the most common issue, but there's also been the ones where they just want people to know they have it, like archives, display items, and so on. And this is where, again, if we could set it as a permanent status saying the status is display only or the status is restricted only. And if they do make the decision to override it and check it out, the local loan rules can go and check it out. But it will deny requests from OpenRS. And also, it will save them trying to keep resetting the status every time they check the item back in.
Yeah, because that's always going to be the case with restricted. I think with a lot of these statuses, they
Yeah, with
become
any status, it
available.
would become available because that's not really how statuses were conceived of as working, right? We would use something like either loan type or even shelving location in order to say this is or is not available for requests through our, I mean, we use ILLiad, so it's a different thing. We don't have a union catalog, but right, status is certainly a factor. But again, that's why I'm saying, like, if we want to, if someone wanted that, feels like it would be a workaround, but if they wanted that functionality, that's just a different thing, right? Like, that's a thing where someone would have to say, someone would have to propose it and code it and pay for it to, to have to be prioritized. And,
Well, it would be different functionality, and this thing I'm going to pay for it is becoming an issue when there's things that we need, and there's a lot of people saying who's going to pay for it, and nobody is. We're running into now is the Ethereum 9.50, where libraries need to have their local database available for ILL for sharing with their libraries. One was this here in a consortial catalog, and we've had the ticket sitting for about 10 months now with index data and EBSCO saying who's going to pay for it.
And that's primarily, it rolls back to what the community council is working on, which is having a community-driven development team, which is a development team that is driven or that is paid for by community funds. So the community gets together. Unfortunately, it's kind of one of the downfalls of open source is that there is no development team to do community tickets, so to speak. I mean, everybody is working on what they need for themselves to some extent. But getting back, yes, this would be new functionality. I don't think modifying the current item status functionality would be a good idea. I think that might cause more issues. Item statuses are, for lack of a better term, strange in Folio. Even though they're kind of a descriptor on the item, they are hard coded. The logic is hard coded into certain rules, requests, and a whole bunch of other things. I think going more of a route of having a new field, which could be like a modifier to the item status or the item itself, that you can then also say this adds the ability to block requests or something of that nature might be a better way of going. But it would have to be talking to like the devs and see which direction they think would make the most sense.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Other thoughts about the restricted item status? So it sounds like the current proposal is to allow recalls and holds on the restricted status, making it different from unavailable. It is that would require, which we think it's already doing that in the snapshot. They fixed it to do that. Is that right, Tom?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
They stumbled across the quote-unquote bug, which is what sparked this question, when they were doing testing for Trillium, and the devs fixed it, but then they realized that it was not fixed for quite a while, so they wanted to know what the exact functionality was supposed to be, to
Gotcha.
see if they should roll it back. But yes, right now in Snapshot, it is working as originally spec'd.
All right, then are there the documentation will need to be updated if we go this route. So that is one thing that has to happen because it's well, at least in the Ramsons release, it's still saying that in the documentation. Are there any concerns about that going that route? All right. Then, Tom, are you in touch with the devs about that particular thing? Is there anywhere it needs to be documented in Jira?
Nope. If you want to update the documentation online, or somebody wants to go ahead and update the documentation there so it matches what was agreed on here, I actually just pinged Anne. She's out today to let her know that RA came to a decision, and then she can pass her and I can pass it on to the devs probably tomorrow or later this week. But yeah, it was just, as I said, it's just kind of like. Actually, it was the documentation that threw him off. Shoot, I can't remember her name right now. She was looking at the tickets, but then she looked at the documentation and noticed that there was an inconsistency between the test cases and the documentation. And she was just like, wait, which should it be?
All right, I will ask Lawrence to update the documentation for that part as well.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sure. All right. Thank you, everyone. So let's see. Next up, we have Magnus is going to ask us about the naming for triggering events in the circ log and notice policy. So we noticed this, he raised this discrepancy back in October, I think, maybe the beginning of November, and wrote up a ticket, UX prod 5618, about the discrepancy between what the event names look like in the circ log and what they look like in the notice policies. So trying to get those consistent, and I will hand it over to Magnus to just talk about what he needs from us.
Thank you. I don't know if I need that much. I will share the table so we can mark when we have decided for a name for the different, and we can see the different names. Let's see. Here we go, I think. Yes. I'm sharing my browser, right? Good. So these are the triggering names for the notice policies and for the circulation log. Some of them should be fairly easy to agree on, and there might be a couple of harder ones. So I thought we might as well go from the top and just go through them. So the first one is when an item becomes available at the pickup shelf. It feels like it should be awaiting pickup since available is another status. I'll just fill it in unless someone has another opinion. And all the first ones really, page request, hold request, recall request, cancel request. Do we prefer the notice policy ones or the ones from the triggering or the circulation log? I feel like these
The
are
notice,
more.
yeah, the notice policies, like hold requ I mean page request versus paging seems obvious
Yeah.
because
Yeah.
page hold and cancel is the language we're using.
Right. I'll just fill these ones in where we can discuss it if someone disagrees. And it should be hold shelf expiration since hold expiration is in not the same thing. Should be as clear as possible. And request expiration is the same in both. Obviously, we could, if we want to change something overall, we could discuss it as well. And then the check-in, check-out, nothing weird with that. That's not allowed for some reason. I don't know what happened now. Let's see. I'll just fill this one in again. Check in, check out. So this one is item renewed or simply renewed. And I thought, is do we always use item or should it be loan renewed or it doesn't matter? Because the other ones, we use loan due date and loan due date change, of course, but when it's something happening, it's item renewed and item recalled. No idea if it matters.
I mean, if you were starting from tabula rasa, technically it really should be loan renewed in both places, I would think, but I don't know how much it matters versus just being internally consistent from my
Yeah.
perspective.
I don't have a strong opinion either, but it should still be item renewed, right? Instead of renewed.
I'd go for item renewed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say
Yeah.
item renewed or loan renewed. I like think that it does make sense the to have it. It
I'm
is the
just,
loan that's
but
being renewed, but
yeah.
yeah.
They want to change both of them everywhere.
And these ones, it's the notice policy here as well, I guess. It's
Yeah,
more,
I think that what the confusion I think is,
yeah.
Magnus, and I'm looking at it, is I'm looking in the circulation log, and if you look in the circ log, like the filters, they're all under this header of loan, right? Like when you look at the filters, all the things are under loan. So I think if you had loan, people maybe thought that they would be redundant. Do you know what I mean? In the circ log filters on the left-hand column, they're all under the header of loan, so that when you look at renewed, it's sort of modifying that header for that section. I don't know what it looks like when you, yeah, you see what I mean? Because it has the object and the circ action. When you, if you click on renewed, you'll see
So
all
the
the object loan and then renewed. That's why in this context it looks a little bit different than it would in the you need the modifier in the loan, the notice policy, because it doesn't have this structure. So I think that may be why some of these are abbreviated in the circ log, if that makes sense.
I believe you're right. Kimmy may be able to also shed some light on that, but I think from previous, if I remember correctly from previous conversations, it is supposed to be kind of read that way. So like notice send error is how you would actually read that instead of send and send error. That you would the header would be basically appended to the beginning of the other one. So.
That's what I thought as well, but really the triggering events, they're under the notice tab because it's only about the notices. So in this case, it only says, unless you look at the other parts as well, it only says notice and send. And then we have the triggering event over here. So it doesn't actually say loan anywhere else.
Right. It would if you didn't limit it to your notices, but you're saying that. So what you're arguing is not to change the circ action label, which I agree would end up introducing a lot of noise, but just what the triggering event in the description field is recorded as. Yeah, that makes.
So
Okay.
it's this
Yeah.
one. And obviously it's not a big deal anyway, as long as we're
No, but it makes
consistent.
sense. Yeah.
So for this one is fairly understandable either way. It's just for example, if we put available instead, it just says triggering event available when it's awaiting pickup. And that's
And that's
the
definitely
biggest one.
wrong. Yeah.
Do we feel like should it It should say loan due date time, or should it just say loan due date? Does it matter if we continue it?
I mean, there are plenty of things that have times in addition to dates, even. So, I mean, again, I don't know how much any of this matters other than
No.
just it makes sense to me to be consistent.
Yeah. And we'll go with, I think. It's better to go with the loan due date change. An item recalled. An item aged lost. Again, unless it should be loan aged lost. I don't know if that matters, but that's the item perhaps. These ones are the same. It just has a comma for the first one. I don't know if that matters either way.
I think the comma makes sense because it doesn't, the phrase doesn't make sense without the comma.
So this is just so I understand it myself. It's when this is overdue fine when an item is returned, right? And this is when an item is renewed. That's how it works. That's
Yeah,
when
it's
the
the
fine is put on
charged.
the,
Yes, exactly.
yeah. And that's controllable within the policies, right? You don't have to charge an overdue fine when something is renewed.
Correct.
But you can. So that's, yeah, it's trying to distinguish between the two possible times that an overdue fine could be charged.
Great. So the last time we brought this up, these last two ones were the ones that were discussed, which option we should choose. I don't have any strong opinions if we should use the notice policy names or the circulation law.
I would probably go with Angel Lost. Just a lot of our libraries use that. It would make it more clear what they're seeing.
Well, except is this also happening when things are declared lost? Right? Because lost item fees are charged under two different circumstances. They can age to lost or they can be declared lost. And ideally it would capture that granularity in the same way that it's capturing the two different circumstances under which the overdue fine is charged. But it doesn't look like it is here.
Can we do a custom one, say age or declared lost?
Well,
Or did we
lost
just
item.
miss this? I don't know if this is all of the possible triggering events.
Right, it's possible. What about declared loss could be one of them, right?
Do think I went through it? I'm not sure.
There is no notice. Isn't it when you declare
Oh,
something lost, is there a notice?
there isn't, but that's annoying.
Well,
So
is it
that's
that
why there is no
there's
triggering
yes.
event.
Wouldn't there be though if there was a charge? Wouldn't there be a
No, that's the problem, is that there's never been a notice that sends when you declare something lost, it charges the fee, but there's no way to choose to send a notice. It's very irritating.
I feel like I have a vague memory that that was a deliberate decision at one point, where enough people were like, "But I don't want to send people a notice that I've manually charged them because I'm already talking to them." And this gets into there are other cases where you can send a notice if you've created a manual charge on someone's account. But yeah.
You are correct. That was the conversation around those notices because, and I know because we were on the side of don't send them. But it was because normally, like if something is being declared lost by a staff member or it's a resolution to a search, those notices are that communication is usually sent by like a billing coordinator or a stacks coordinator. But I do know that there was a few people that said they would prefer them to be automated. But we went with I think the majority at the time was we didn't want them automated.
Yeah, I
It doesn't mean they
remember
can't be
being
manipulated.
overruled is why I remember that. Because yes, I was one of the we should just automate it.
Well, or it should be a checkbox, like when you do any fee find thing, you should be able to check yes, notify, or not. Yeah, which I think is a gap list item, or there's a ticket for that.
Yeah, and it's also weird. Notices, I think it's partially it was partially dipping into the notices that don't fall into circulation policies. And I think that was a little bit of the complication because there could have been something where something was declared lost, but it doesn't fall into a circulation policy or something like that. I do know we were talking about a few notices where they don't directly apply to a circulation policy.
There is an open ticket, though. Notify users when items are declared lost that we looked at the Valaris review and put it in further refinement.
Excellent. So I think the tricky bit for this one, Magnus, is that the triggering event is the charging of the fee and the circ log requires. In the circ log, you might want additional information about the triggering event. Right? So if I declared something lost, now this doesn't work right now, so it's a moot point. But if, let's say, the notice we could say to go out with a declared lost fine fee charged, then I would want it to say declared lost, fine charged, or fee charged. Because I'd want to know the distinction between aged versus declared. So, I mean, unless there would also be a declared lost action, though, in the circ log. So they kind of go hand in hand. Whereas the age to, there would also be an age to lost action next to it. So maybe the, if the trigger is that a lost item fee is charged, you would have the corresponding fee fine action right next to it in the circ log, in theory.
In
So
theory.
maybe it doesn't need that much detail, I guess, is my point.
I mean, the other one though too is I don't see an issue with adding another line here and saying that we want it split out, that it's there is an age to lost fine charged and a declared lost fine charged, even though it doesn't directly relate to a notice. I mean, the notice could be just left for the declared loss one. Because I'm sure that I know they're handled differently on the back end. So I'm sure that it wouldn't be that hard of a thing to change the way it's sent to the circulation log. That's the other thing too, is I'm not sure if these names are mapped at the circulation log, or if it is the descriptor sent from the other modules to the circulation log, if that makes sense.
Yeah. But until the functionality of sending a notice for declared lost comes, this is going to be a moot point because we can, there is no triggering of, it doesn't trigger anything to declare lost. So.
Well, that's what I'm saying is like there is a declared lost functionality on circ. I'm not I'm in the circulation modules, and as you were saying before, I don't know if this is the action because of the notice that was sent, or if this is the action of the actual fine being processed. And I have a feeling it's probably the logging event is the fine being processed. If that's the case, it's they probably just combined them for readability sake. I think having them split are, even though that the declared loss doesn't have a notice, is kind of a moot point, and I think it's worthwhile saying that we want them as two separate entities. But yeah, that's just kind of my two cents.
Yeah, because we have the, we also have the trigger when the item is aged to lost. That's a separate one. So this is the fee when the fee is added. I guess the lost item fees, that's, it is called the lost item. It, again, it depends on how specific it must be. With the declared lost and aged lost, but a
Yeah.
lost item fee is what is charged in this moment. But I don't know.
Yeah, I think I would probably use the same language as the lost item fee charged because that is, I mean, that is the notice, right? All of these triggering events in the circulation log should just be request, it should just be reflecting what is triggered in the notice policy. I mean, that's what this is saying. It's like we use this trigger in the notice policy to send out this notice. So I think I would lean towards the lost item fee charged. I don't know why it's parentheses. I might not use the parentheses. I guess because they can be bundled, but.
Unless if they're referring to the lost item fee and the
Processing
processing
fee.
fee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we feel like it's the lost item fee? I actually have to leave, so if we're not decided, you will have to decide without me because I have to.
Well,
Yes.
we can also talk about it next week if we want to give some more thought to where we think it should land. It is, that is fine, actually. Why don't we wrap it for today and we will come back to it next week and come up with the final decision on these. And if people want to take it back to weigh others that may need to weigh in, they can. All right. Thanks, Magnus. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I'll see you.
All right. Any additional items to raise before we break? We will circle back to that next week. If anybody has additional items for next Monday, please send me and or Cornelia a note, and we will get it on the agenda. Thanks, everyone. I hope you all have a good week and see some folks on Thursday for fee fines.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye,
Bye.
everyone.
Everyone. Bye.